Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that you are here with us, present through your Holy Spirit. Would you open up our ears and our hearts to hear and receive your message this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So ever since September, we have been in this series called Come and See, and the whole idea of it is just to take another good look at Jesus, at who he was, who he said he was, what he taught, what he was about, some of his miracles, some of his interactions with people. And so we've done that all fall, just looking at different stories. And while we are in December focusing on the season leading up to his birth, the whole event of his birth was a come and see moment. You have shepherds coming and wise men coming and folks gathering to see this baby. So today is, we're still in the series, but we're going to focus on that familiar story of shepherds and angels coming to see. And I say it's familiar. I don't usually assume that everyone knows the Bible stories, but this particular story is the same one that Linus reads verbatim in the Peanuts special. Remember, with the sad little tree and they're all dancing on the stage. And right in the middle of that, Linus tells them the story, and he reads just what Jim read to you. It's that story. So I want to invite you yet again, and we just have one more week next Sunday, to come and see. This is not Jesus as an adult. He's not teaching. He's not even here for most of the story, and then he's just arrived kind of being, right? Doesn't have anything to say to the shepherds, but it is a holy moment. It is an essential example of what it means to consider Jesus and who he is and what he's about and why God has sent him. So that's the invitation for today. So I want to start with the message. I mentioned that with the children, that the point of angels was to give messages. That it just literally means messenger. Angel and messenger are kind of the same thing. But here's the deal. Angels were, the best we can tell, are imposing creatures, because almost every time one appears in the Bible, they don't get a chance to give their message right off the bat because people are cowering or face down or passed out cold. Just the sight of these angels just is overwhelming. So usually the first thing they say is not hello, it's don't be afraid, right? I have a message from God, but don't be afraid. And here's the thing, if I'm being honest, even now, after years and years of hearing this story, when I hear it, what I focus on is the angel and the army in the heaven of the, you know, covering the sky and the event, right? And maybe I picture the manger scene that comes at the end. There's a whole lot that I picture when I hear this story read, except the most important thing. That's why angels appeared in the first place. It was to give a message. So I want to draw your attention to the message this morning. And it's simply this. It's what's on the screen in front of you. It's that God's Savior, the saving one, the chosen one, that's Christ, the Messiah, he's come into the world. And we find out just right after this, his parents named him Jesus. So Jesus is God's saving and chosen one come into the world. And that's good news. It's great news, the angels say. It's joyful news. That's the message. And if we miss that, we missed it all. And here's the problem. And you've heard the opposite of this, right? The whole blame the messenger. If somebody brings you bad news, most of us will get mad at the messenger. We focus in on the messenger. But if the message is true, good or bad, if it's true, it's true. And I want to invite you this morning to hear this message, to come and see what God says Jesus is about through the lips of these angels. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be an angel. In fact, this is the same message, the one that came through an angel's lips with the whole sky lighting up that night. It's the same message that you hear here, week in and week out. It's the same message you will read on just about every page of this Bible. It's as simple as that. And it doesn't have to have the fireworks to be true, right? It's that God has come near and Jesus is his saving and chosen one. And that's the good news. That's the best news. That's it. So I want to invite you, as much as this is an amazing, wonderful scene, to just hear it plain and simple. Hear it from me. Read it in the scripture. Hear it on the lips of a friend. God is drawn near in Jesus. The second part of this kind of has the same risk associated with it. And that's because the angels, as part of their message, say, I'm going to give you a sign, right? I'm going to give you a sign from God that you know this is a true message. Go to this place and you'll find the mother and the father, and you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And that'll be a sign to you. And that's when, cue the angel army, that's when the sky lights up with a million singing army angels praising God and saying glory to God, right? So you want a sign, the shepherds got a sign. But here's the thing, God doesn't ordinarily use signs, right? I know, I get it. We want them. We're like, God, should I consider this promotion at work? Will you just give me a sign? Could you just float a rainbow like in the next 10 seconds as confirmation? Or thunder, that would be even better. You know, the ancient people love to interpret thunder. So, God, should I do this? Could you just, you know, kaboom? The problem is, even if it happened, then we'd be like, so was that a yes kaboom or a no kaboom? Could you just clarify the sign for me a little bit? But God doesn't, I mean, we have these amazing stories in the Bible of a burning bush and God's voice coming, and we have peals of thunder, and we have angels, we have, you know, a baby wrapped in cloths in a manger. But ordinarily, God doesn't use signs. We want them, but that's not how God works. But this, I'll tell you the second thing about signs, is God's truth, because it's true, with a capital T, it's from God, truth is self-affirming. So, for example, if I told you, this doesn't really work today, think 5 days ago, if I told you we were in here, hey, it's raining outside, you might want to dress appropriately. Well, if you trust me, if you think I'm a trustworthy messenger, you might just, without even looking, you know, pull on the coat, get the umbrella, because you're thinking, well, Robert said it must be raining outside. But you know what else is okay? It's okay just to go and see. Go look outside. Because if it's true, it will be self-confirming. So you look outside and you're like, yeah, it sure is raining. I'm going to put on the coat, get the umbrella. That's how God's truth works. Because it's from God, because it's true, it is self-confirming. So we don't have to have a sign. I know it's helpful. But many of us, if we're very fortunate, we might have one or two of those kind of, oh, this has to be from God signs in our life. But for the daily decisions and week after week, all these things we're wanting to know, God speaks in very clear ways. He speaks through the words of Scripture. He speaks through teaching and preaching of that word. He speaks through the wise counsel of others. And if you want to know it's true, just check it out. Come and see, because it's self-confirming. And with that, all the angels disappeared. The shepherds did something very important. They, in fact, did go to see. And they said that to themselves. Let's all go and see this thing of which the angels have said. So they travel to find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And indeed, they find him. And it's just as was said. But here's the thing. This is the perfect kind of wrapping up our fall series of Come and See. Here's one version of what could have happened. They could have shown up, stable, manger, check, mom, dad, the sign. It's the sign, right? And they could have looked and left. But they would have missed the whole thing. The point wasn't the sign. The point wasn't the angels. The point wasn't the amazing scene. It was the same truth that I said at the beginning, that we say here week after week, that we read in the Scriptures, God's saving one has come. He's Jesus. This is good news. This is great news. This is joyful news. They took all that in and they were changed by it. They did not leave in the same way that they had come, because we read in the story that they went and they made known the news. They believed it. They acted on it. They went and told, and we read that the people that they told were changed by it. They marveled at the story. So that's what I want to underscore here at the bottom, is part of my job is week after week to give the invitation, come and see, come check out Jesus. I am confident doing that because I believe the story about Jesus is true. And I believe that if you check him out, it is self-confirming. God will confirm to you that he is true. But if all we ever do is just check it out and look and leave, we've missed the whole invitation. Because Jesus, when he was grown up, when he was an adult, when he did interact with these folks that would follow him, he didn't just say, come and see. He said, come and see and believe and follow me. That's the part two of this invitation that we've kind of stretched out all fall. It's by all means, check Jesus out, especially if you never have. But if you need to again to see, is this really something I believe? Absolutely, come check him out. Read what he said. Look at what he did. But don't just look and leave. Step two is come, believe, and follow me. So we're going to have one more week of come and see. We're going to look at the story next Sunday of the wise men who followed the star and worshiped Jesus when they found him. But then starting in January, we're going to start a series that is that second step, that follow me step of God, here I am. What do you want? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? And we're just going to go for a number of weeks looking at stories of Scripture of people who responded, some in faith, some in doubt, some with a whole lot of questions, but they all said, okay, God, you have my attention. What do you want? And that's where we're headed in January. So come back the first of the year. I mean, come back every week, but I'm excited about that in January and February, both for myself and for you, to say, God, you have our attention. What do you want? What do you want us to do? What do you want me to do individually, and what do you want us to do together as this part of God's family here in this part of God's world? So that's the news. I kind of wish that angels would show up and be my backup choir. But you know, the way God works is in quiet and ordinary and still ways to invite us to come. So that's the news, right? God's saving one has come. His name is Jesus. And it's good news. It's great news. It's joyful news. Amen.